the sheep of his hand, the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, the sheep of his hand.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Sheep in your hands, Lord.
I love you, Lord,
and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul.
Then sings my soul,
my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
My soul longeth after soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's say, how many did you sing? Do you know?
Just a couple.
Just a few. Well, a few is a few, and it's almost time to change the order. This is Communion Sunday, and obviously we have some folks that today, Mike is on a business trip, and but we're here, and we're here to worship the Lord and to celebrate something that should draw everyone in this room so very, very close to Jesus Christ. We're living in times that is going to really become a test of our priorities. Everyone in this room is feeling the financial situations that are upon us, gasoline in particular, and job layoffs are in the works at this particular time. It's a very uncertain future. People seem to be putting all their hopes on a political candidate who will come in and just solve all the problems in America. And this is bigger. I want you to know the issues in America are bigger than who or who is or who isn't president. That's a very important issue coming up. We should be prayerful. We should vote prayerfully and carefully in light of biblical guidelines. But at the same time, we should understand that the great need in America, the greater need of all needs in America, is a revival, a return to the Lord. We're going to find out very soon who is in this for the temporary material gain of it, or who is in it for the eternal good. Amen. Because once there's a realization, I heard a pastor making a promise the other day that, you know, all of this isn't going to affect Christians. Well, I would beg to differ with that. When I drive up to the gas pump, I pay the exact same thing as everybody else is paying at the gas pump. I feel it as deeply. And this idea And I, it's almost like a ploy, and I don't like being played with in church. I want to be told the truth.
Right.
Amen. We need to return to God so God can return to us. We need to get off the money message and get back to preaching Jesus and Him crucified, seeking the kingdom of God first. And all these things will be added to us now. I want to add this before we go on in this service today. God is going to take care of His people. But we're going to have to prioritize. And the kingdom is going to have to be first for Him to do that. Can you say amen? And you're going to find out, I'm going to find out, what is really important in our lives. Some people will opt not to go to church on Sunday morning because of the gas issue and use it as an excuse. That's no excuse to not be in God's house. We need the Lord's blessing now more than ever. Some people are going to go to a church that's going to gloss everything over and never deal with the deep issues of the heart and look for a quick fix for their problems today. And I'm going to tell you something. I have preached it. I've proclaimed it. Some of these seats are empty because I do. There is no quick fix for everyone's problem. We're dealing with God, not an evangelist with an anointing.
Amen.
The anointing doesn't solve every issue of our life. It was never intended to. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And my heart breaks for people that just want to run up, get their answer, go their way, and not deal with the deep issues of the heart. God desires truth. Where, church? In the inward parts. These are the days that I will test my people, and I will see where their heart truly is. Yea, that not that I may know the truth, saith the Lord, because I already know the truth. For I search the deep corridors. I search the deep chambers. I search the hidden places of the heart. Yea, saith God, there's nothing hid from my eyes. And yet I love and I want to restore, and I want to see the mighty restoration, yea, in your nation and in your people and in your families and in your children, saith God, and in you, my dear ones. If we don't have a breakthrough of truth, if we keep going the way that we are going, we're going to see more and more shipwrecked marriages, shipwrecked lives. We're going to see more and more people devastated by disease in this day without God's help or healing. We're going to see more and more unanswered prayer if we don't find people willing to get down at old-fashioned altars and get their hearts cleaned up before Almighty God. Israel had a covenant with God, but they couldn't receive the blessing of it until they repented. When they returned, see, we don't see a need to repent. We've got just enough churchiness, amen, and just enough Christian paraphernalia around us, a bumper sticker or some little something in our home instead of someone in our heart that rules and reigns. And folks, I'm telling you, are you tired of unanswered prayer? Are you tired of the suffering within God's people? Are you tired of seeing people dead-end and shipwreck and cry out with no seeming answer? Well, there's a simple answer to all of this. We're getting ready to receive communion this morning. And the Bible said there's a cause that many of you are sickly. And there's a cause that many of us die prematurely. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we rarely ever touch on the root causes of the defeat and the devastation in the Christian community. We don't want to go there, because if we go there, we're going to discover very quickly there is need for repentance. And there's a need to open our hearts and come clean before the Lord. There's a presumption that is dangerous in the body of Christ. We're getting ready to receive communion. This is such a holy event this morning. The Bible said if your heart isn't pure when you receive it, if you haven't confessed any known sins before God, you're going to actually drink curses instead of blessings this morning. Did you realize that is connected? You can't disconnect that because of grace. This is in the grace covenant.
Amen.
Holy things are no less holy under grace than they were under law.
Amen.
This is a different dispensation, but it doesn't change the holiness of God.
Amen.
It doesn't change the holiness of worship.
Amen.
Can you say, man, this is not a plaything. This is not Christian entertainment on Sunday morning. I've seen Christian entertainment. It does not qualify as worship. Can you say amen? Amen. Worship involves the heart, and it involves truth. True worshipers have to come to Him only one way, in spirit. And we Pentecostals really put the emphasis on spiritual worship. Amen. But He said that is even not enough. We need to come to Him in truth. And where is God looking for that truth? In the inward parts. In other words, if your heart isn't wholly and completely involved in serving and worshiping God this morning, nothing we sing, nothing we dance, nothing we say, nothing we even speak in other tongues is going to be acceptable unto Him. Because He's going to look past all of that for a qualifier. And He's going to look at the attitude of our heart. Is there anything hidden that we need to get out in the open? Is there an unconfessed sin that we need to get under the blood of Jesus Christ? Is there an attitude that we need to get right that we haven't dealt with? Holy Communion confronts us with these issues. Can you say amen? And it speaks of taking this cup unworthily. And that doesn't mean that you have to be worthy. Some people are afraid to take the cup because they don't feel worthy. Honey, that's the whole purpose of the cup, is to let us understand very, very clearly that we are not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ, but we are worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we take this cup with great confidence today. The unworthiness in the context that is written means that we do not approach this holy ordinance with due reverence. They turned it into a self-indulgent party. It wasn't enough to have the tokens of His body and blood. They wanted, amen, to bring picnic lunches, and they wanted to get drunk on wine at the communion service, and they were so doing. And Paul said, this irreverence, this taking that is holy and exclusively for God, turning it into something that is for us, for self-indulgence, and the irreverence in it all, not even waiting for one another, acting as a body anymore, but acting independently just to serve self. And the scripture said, because you received this unworthily, for this cause, many of you are sick, and many of you are going to die from your sickness with a covenant of healing. And yet it's not going to operate. This is under grace in the New Testament associated with what we're about to do this morning. So this morning we will drink. And we take this so passively and so uncautioned many times. I don't want to have anyone in this room be afraid that if you're a Christian, you're born again, you should never, ever refuse Holy Communion. You say, well, I had this bad attitude. Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. Amen. Before you drink this cup, get rid of that bad attitude. Don't put it off. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Can you say amen? Don't let the sun go down. Hallelujah. Don't nurse it for a month and then suddenly be confronted at Holy Communion and say, you know, I don't like Sister Hoopinjigger. I can't take this until I get to liking her. Honey, change that. Repent right. Come on, folks. Repent right there on the spot and say, Lord, whatever keeps me from this cup is keeping me from You. Can you say amen? And I don't want nothing keeping me from You. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And if anything, if there's an irreverent attitude in my life, I want it corrected. I want to submit to those that are in authority. I want to submit to Your word. I want to bow to You today. Amen. And I don't want anything in the back room, any hidden thing that keeps me from being healed when I pray, from having answers when we call. This is not legalism. This is not having anything to do with salvation by works. This is whether or not God can legitimately answer us because we are harboring something He told us to get rid of. You can't have it both ways in the New Testament. And there's so many churches won't go there this morning because it makes people uncomfortable. Amen. Well, honey, I don't want, amen, any pastor to make it easy for me, amen, to get wrong with my God and disqualify myself from answered prayer and get sick and can't get healed, amen, and die before my time simply because He hasn't challenged me to get down to business and thereby get down to an altar sometime. Churches where people never go to the altar, there's something wrong with them even if it is this one. Can you say amen? We are not that good. We're not that great. We're not that perfect. Amen. We're not that absolutely spiritually qualified that we never have to repent. We never have to seek God, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. People want to maintain their pride and their appearances, and they want all of these blessings and benefits. Amen. But God doesn't work that way. The Bible never said that. We're going to come into, listen, you're in a holy place this morning. Why? Because where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, listen, who's here this morning? There am I in the midst of them. Jesus Christ is here today. Amen. And He's here manifest by the Holy Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. So the ground that you're standing on is what? There was a lady at a meeting just about a month ago, and she had trouble with her feet. Her feet were giving her such problems. She thought she was going to have to quit work, tried foot surgery and pain pills and everything else, and they sustained the same kind of pain. Amen. She was in a church service, and the worship came to a peak point where the presence of God was sensed, and she said the Lord didn't tell her this. She just felt this in her heart. She said, you know, this presence of God is here. Amen. Well, it was there before she felt it. I got news for her. Amen. Amen. Where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I. When you feel it is not when He arrived. That's when you sense that He was there. Can you say amen? He didn't show up when you felt Him. Amen. Where two or more gathered in my name, where am I? I'm in the midst of them. In the Old Testament, it said very, very clearly, amen, the shout of a king is in the midst of them. That's why you can't defeat them in battle. As long as God is for them, He's going to be with them, amen. And if He is with them and for them, then no one can defeat them. Can you say amen? You know what we need in church today? We need to get back to the place where God can legitimately be in the midst of us and manifest Himself to us and through us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How people can be content to go to a church that where they are unchallenged and unchanged and sit comfortably in their lukewarm Christianity and do without blessings and just hang on to empty promises, amen, is a mystery to me. If I am not receiving from God, I want to find out why I'm not receiving from God, because one thing I know about God, He is faithful and His word is true. Can you say amen? And His promises are yea and amen to everyone that believes them. God is not failing His people. He is not failing to keep His promises. We are failing, amen, to return to Him in repentance so He can legitimately meet the needs of our life. The New Testament church didn't go through one generation until they had lost the blessing and benefits of the new covenant in terms of their physical bodies and their personal lives. It began to deteriorate. Why? He said, for this cause. For this cause. Let God be true. And every man become a liar. If we try to say, oh, that's not me. See, that's our problem. We won't own up. Everybody's perfectly dedicated Christian. No, we're not. We're in need of a revival in the church in America. We need God to return to us. And He can't do it. And He won't do it until we return to Him. And if you think just going to church for an hour on Sunday and just going after the world through the week is returning to God, that is why we don't see the revival. And we need it desperately. And we need God's touch in our personal lives here today. I don't want to go through one of these quick, watered-down holy communions. This is holy. The lady said the Lord spoke to her heart in the peak of the praise service, take off your shoes. Amen. And she felt it in her heart. I mean, without God saying it, she felt in her heart what He said to Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground where His presence was. Some act of reverence was required. Everybody say where His presence is.
Where His presence is.
An act of reverence is required.
An act of reverence is required.
Amen. Where His presence is. You can't take tokens of His body and His blood. Amen. With a heart that is sullied with sin and expect to be blessed and prosper. This is the time for the cleansing and the washing. Amen. This is the time and the place for dealing with things that maybe it's difficult to deal with, or maybe we don't want to deal with it all, but communion is the time and the place to deal with it. Because it determines whether you're going to stay in your condition or you're going to get set free. It's determined by what happens in this service today. Not what happens later on in the week. Not what happens next month. Not even what happens in the healing line at the revival. Everyone is not healed in anybody's revival, including Christ. Hello? 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 Is that the Word of God? Am I telling you what the Bible says? It's difficult stuff. It's hard stuff. But folks, I want to be clean. I want to be right. I want my prayers answered. I want to be confronted. I want to be challenged. I want to be corrected when I'm wrong. I want to be chastised. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I would rather God allow something in my life to get my attention than to let the devil overwhelm me, overcome me, tear up my marriage, destroy my ministry. Amen. Push me away from the presence that sustains me. Amen. I would rather trouble come to my life than to have someone always pet me, amen, while I'm backsliding further and further and further away from God and opening my life to the devil. Let me fall into the hands of God for chastisement. Don't let me fall into the hands of the destroyer for destruction. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Listen, we cannot avoid the fact that God chastens everyone that He loves. You're without chastisement and you're in sin. Let me tell you something. You don't belong to Him. Chastisement is a sign of sonship. For the Scripture said He chastens every son that He loves and scourges everyone that He receives. He doesn't have spoiled, rotten children. Maybe God just hadn't got around to you yet. Maybe you are a real Christian, but God hadn't got around to you yet. But let me tell you something. He will get around to you. Amen? If you belong to Him. The Bible says you're not His if you can sin and not be chastised. You don't belong to God. So I can tell you, if you're a real Christian, it's coming. If you're not a real Christian, then you need to deal with that issue. Because you're going to die one day, old horse. You're going to draw your last breath one day. Amen? And self-deception is something you do not want. Let no man deceive you, the Scripture said. This involves where your soul, not just whether or not we're blessed, but whether you where you spend eternity. Let no man deceive you, neither the fornicator, nor the idolater, nor the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind hath any part in the kingdom of God. There are whole churches tearing all of that out, ripping that page from Holy Writ and wadding it up in light of a culture that doesn't want to hear it and throwing it away to accommodate the culture. So instead of the Bible beginning to affect the culture and God beginning to move in a nation, people are pushing His Word back to accommodate our sin, and we're still receiving communion. Oh, how I want to bless and deliver my people. Oh, how I want to visit them once again. Oh, how I want my name lifted up when they see your blessings that I have bestowed upon you. When they see your deliverance, when they see your help coming. Yea, that the world may know that your God is the true and the living God. Oh, how I want my name exalted through your deliverance, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you something. God wants to return to us. Greater than we want to return to Him. Repentance is one of those old messages we don't want to hear anymore. But there's such a blessing in it. Hallelujah. It brings the joy of the Lord into our life. Amen. When we return to God, God returns to us. It's just that simple. And when God returns to us, amen, we're not just talking holy hype to make people feel better on Sunday morning. Amen. God begins to come through. God begins to come through. God begins to come through. Can you say amen? And when God comes through, we get helped by the Lord. Amen. Take not away from me, David said when he repented, don't take away from me the joy of your salvation. You know what that was about? The joy of salvation. This is not a New Testament context. This is back in the Old Testament. Amen. This is Psalm 51 in the Old Covenant. It's not salvation as the born-again experience. It's not being saved as we know it. What did he know of that? That word for salvation is deliverance. He said, back when I was right in my heart and confessed my sins before the Lord, amen, I saw God's miracles. I saw God's wonders. I saw God's power manifest in my deliverance for whatever my need was. And there's a joy when God breaks through. There's a joy in the camp when God comes through. Amen. How can you stay in depression and defeat when God starts breaking through? Can you say amen? He said he wants to do that. He wants his name exalted. He wants the sounds of joy, amen, and victory resounding from his camp. But that means getting down to the reality that we need truth in the inward parts. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's get down to the truth today. If you're not saved, face the truth. You don't want to face that truth when you die. You want to face it now and get saved. Hallelujah. If you ain't right, can I use the word ain't? We've used it so frequently, they had to put it in the dictionary. They used to say ain't in the dictionary. Go look again. Amen. It's part of the English language and it's there. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you ain't right with God, if you are not right with God, then for heaven's sakes, get right with God so God can legitimately honor his promise, honor his covenant, honor our faith, and bless us with a blessing so that God can return to us because we have returned to him. Has nothing to do with legalism, nothing to do with whether or not we're saved, has everything to do with what relationship we have with him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see revival in my generation. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the blind see and the lame walk and the dumb talk. And I want to see the demon possessed and oppressed set free. Can you say amen? But it's going to take more than the anointing on the preacher or in the place. It's going to take hearts getting right with God. Somebody give him praise in this room today. Hallelujah. So in Holy Communion, you are confronted. And I am confronted. Is there secret sin? See, receiving this unworthily, the Bible said, for this cause, many of you as believers are sick. That's not the only reason we get sick. But if it is a factor, we need to make sure we eliminate it. How about it, church? Can you say amen? Everyone that's sick is not a sinner. Everyone that's sick is not irreverent, but this is a factor in the body of Christ, according to the Apostle Paul. And he said, you can't blame this on the devil. And you can't blame it on God's unfaithfulness. You have to take responsibility for your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. How could a person go from praising God on a platform to backsliding and going out into gross sin? How could they do that? How could that happen? Something in the heart wasn't true from day one. But they wouldn't deal with it. And Satan had an open door to do his work within that heart and within that life. And the amazing thing about it is people that won't deal with those issues of the heart put on a spiritual performance that is Oscar worthy. They were on television, they would win the Emmy. Amen. Amen. There was a man with Paul that was so good at it that Paul chose him to go evangelizing as his team partner. But when the pressure got on, what was in surfaced. Paul didn't see it, but God did. And after a while it surfaced. Demas, who I chose over John Mark. Because we had some issues, so I chose Demas, better man to go with me. We're in total agreement. But when the pressure came down, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved, he didn't just start that. It was in there all the time. Ulterior motives were in his heart, and he fooled Paul. But he didn't fool God, and after a while, the Bible said, be sure, it may take a while, it may take a lot of time, but be sure our sin finds us out. And that sin of loving the world came forth in Demas' life. And he was a fellow minister with Paul. said he hath forsaken me, having what? Having loved this present world. And it was in there all along, but he had cloaked it. He had cleverly covered it. Amen. Until he had to put everything on the line for the gospel. And suddenly it came forth. I am not going to sacrifice it all for Jesus Christ. I don't love him that much. I love this world more. Incredible that we could get so churchy, so religious, that we not only deceive others, we can be self-deceived. But we can never deceive our God. And when you pray, and when you're prayed for, you're not dealing with the evangelist and his anointing, the pastor and his prayer, the people gathered around you in prayer. That's not who you're dealing with ultimately. They are co-agents with God to get this work done. But only God does it. Only God does it. Can you say amen? And I don't want anything to come under for this cause. I want to make sure that is eliminated. I don't want any irreverent attitude this morning. Any known, blatant, disobedient attitude. Amen. I don't want to harbor some grudge and say, well, look, if you knew what they did to me, you'd understand why I feel this way. No, freely you've received what? The grace and mercy that has covered all your sin. Freely give. Amen. Hallelujah. You will only hear the truth where there is no fear of man. You will only hear the truth where there is complete freedom to declare it. You will only hear the truth where I am feared and revered more than man. Yea, you will only hear the truth where hearts are totally yielded to me, saith the Spirit of God. You're not going to hear the truth from a pastor who's afraid you won't come back if he tells you the truth. I fear God more than I fear you. One of the reasons I work 5 days a week as hard as I can is so I can tell the truth on Sunday morning and not worry about whether you give, whether you come back. I love you. I want to see you in heaven. And I want to see you blessed here and now. I want to see your prayers and mine answered. I want to see people set free. Can you say amen? And if I can't build a church on truth, I don't want to preach in that church. Period. If I can't tell you what I'm telling you now without offending you, amen, the only reason anyone in this room would be offended is if you're playing a game with God. Don't play games with God. I've buried too many people that have played games with God. I've watched people die before their time, Dale. Because of playing games with God. I pastored for 35 years. I watched the law of sowing and reaping come full circle. I know where it's headed. I know the hayride isn't going to take care of your peer pressure for your children and the world culture. If they don't come into a love relationship with Christ, it's going to swallow them up no matter what kind of activity at church that we give them. Somehow we think, my son went to a Christian school at River Hills Christian School. The first year they had Christian school. And you know one of the problems they had at River Hills Christian School? Their first year open, one of the problems they had when they were in the little church. My son's a graduate of River Hills. I delivered an address to the first graduating class along with other people at that graduating class when they started their Christian education program. And you know what one of the problems they faced was? Children that were having problems in regular school, they decided if we just get them in Christian school, that's going to solve their problem. This is, and it is a better atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. But you see, evil is evil and sin is sin. And until that is dealt with, amen, until we get a new master and we get our sins forgiven, it doesn't matter if we're in a monastery. Sin will find a way. Amen. So they just brought the problems that were in those hearts out of the public education system into the private religious education system. And without repentance and hearts being changed and kids coming to Christ, they replicated the same problems on the Christian campus that they had in the public school campus. Mm-hmm. Amen. We can get young people with video games. We can get them with what they used to call them when I was young, before the video games. Oh, man, I love the flippers. I had flipper blisters. Amen. Pinball. Oh, Lord, I was a pinball wizard growing up. I spent my lunch money to play the pinball machine at the Mango Drive-In. Amen. I mean, between cigarettes and pinball, I never hardly ate. Except when I got home. Boy, did I eat when I got home. But anyway, God was good to me, brought me through all of that. But when He saved me, I wanted to be real with Him. Because I had to have real deliverance in my life. I couldn't play the church game. I couldn't play the God game. I had to have reality in my life. I would have died without it. But I did not die, and I am here today because God is faithful. His word is true. Can you say, man? My heart is open to be confronted. Amen. By His word and His spirit today. Praise God. Amen. And I want to come into this holy communion. Amen. With hearts that are ready to be cleansed so that God can do something wonderful in this place and in our lives. And you can be seated. You've been a wonderful audience. I have preached 50% of the message. We've only got half of it to go. Hallelujah.